session number 248307.
Mr. Hibberson, Rail 7, I think now if we come to this patrol on which you were wounded on the, mm-hmm. the night of the 29th of May.
Yeah.
You've been on patrols before, but you take this as a full thing. What planning or briefing did you get before the patrol?
Well, briefed in the afternoon of what was going to happen.
And what do you remember? What did they say?
Well, company commander... I can't remember which company now, to be honest with you. Probably what the company Lieutenant Toll was in. He briefed us all saying that we were going on this fighting patrol. That there would be, how many of us would be leaving our positions and going forward and dropping people off at different positions to form bases, a firm base. And then there was 10 of us and an officer going forward into the enemy position, up to the enemy position, to hopefully get a prisoner. And intelligence wanted a prisoner. And we were going forward to grab his prisoner and then come back in the event of problems. We laid out what would happen in the event of we ran into trouble and all that sort of thing. So, you know, you'd have a bit of a rest in the afternoon. So we went for the 10 of us who were going forward were carrying things like most of us had just had the Enfield rifles. There was a Bren gun, one Bren gun. I think the officer had a Sten gun. I think so.
Wormald.
Well, yeah, Wormald. Lieutenant Wormald.
And so you were carrying just a rifle?
I was carrying a rifle.
What about
most of us were.
What about hand grenades or?
Yeah, hand grenades. Got hand grenades, and as you normally did on these patrols, just, you know, you carried as much as you could go to, as you could walk with, really, obviously spear ammunition, etc. And we thought.
Now, what else would you carry? What unit? What would you be wearing?
Well, you'd just be wearing. At that time, the weather was getting warmer, so what I remember, we were just wearing a camouflage trousers and a jacket, I believe. A jacket, a lightweight jacket, not heavy parka or anything like that. Just an ordinary sort of lightweight jacket and a shirt, hat. Probably a jungle green, round hat type thing, and maybe a woolen hat. We used to wear them quite a lot on the patrol, so a woolen, round woolen hat. Probably one of those, because they didn't stand out so much.
Did you blacken your face? Or
yeah, I was going to say, we used to blacken your face and the backs of your hands.
What with?
That sort of thing. I was trying to think. I didn't think of anything you'd find, really. I can't remember whether we had any theatrical sort of black stuff. I can't really remember. But we used to definitely brighten the face up and brighten the face up in the back of our hands. And, you know, we were all made of a position that it's getting dark. And I'm about there for a while, and then we set off.
The says you set
after
up about
dusk.
About 8:15, they said.
Yeah, that's right. That sort of time. Left our position about 8:15. I know you weren't allowed to take anything with you. All you were allowed to take with you, sort of personally, was just your name tags. You didn't take your pay book. You didn't take anything. Just your sort of dog. You know, what we used to call them. You know, it was hung around your neck with your name, rank, and number on. And that was the only other form of identification you had with you. You used to go on these patrols.
They went, I think it was C Company, the officer probably, and they went out from A Company area from the looks of it. But
Probably did. That was, I remember his meeting at this point, and I can actually remember some pressmen coming along taking photographs. But
what do you remember of that? Because that's how many, what, pressmen from the British press?
Yeah.
And what were they photographing, taking pictures of, you know? Doing what?
Sitting there, really. Sort of posing, you know. Just getting rest, sitting there where you're just sort of hanging about, waiting to go, and you're sort of sitting down on a, whatever it is to sit on, rocks or whatever, and they just came along, took one or two photos. I assume that was a press, I don't know.
You never saw them, the results?
No, never did see the results, because I often wondered what became of those photographs. And we sat off anyway. And it was dark.
Now, what formation did you go in? There was the U-10 with Wormhole, but there were also the other, 40-odd,
we were in front. We went in front, as far as I can remember, probably with Lieutenant Wormhole in front. In single file, set off in single file.
And how long between each of you?
Well, sort of about three yards between each of us.
Now, when you set off, they went about 800 yards before putting the first base down.
That's right, left the first.
Can you tell me, what was that first 800 yards like? What sort of terrain? Is that into the valley?
But yeah, that would be going downhill into the valley. And you'd get in the bottom of the valley, and that was sort of bushes and bits of bushes and rocks and that sort of stuff. All the ground cover weren't too many big trees about. You know, it's the little ones, but not too many big trees about.
And this was the valley that lay between hills 355 and 227.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, and we headed off towards 227. And we then carried on forward after we'd dropped off the first base stop. We stayed there for a few minutes and then we set off again.
Now, this first base, this second Lieutenant Henson and 10 men were left there. Did you know Henson?
No, not at all. I didn't know any of the others, really. All I knew was there were 10 men who were in the same patrol as myself, and Lieutenant Wormhole, who was our platoon commander.
So, you didn't stay the first base long?
No, just a few minutes, and then we set off again. And up to the second base, where I think that was Lieutenant Hall and about 20 men, we left there.
That was about another 800 yards, 900
yards. That's right, yeah.
And were you going uphill by then, or was this...
But then we were in the bottom of the hill. We was just sort of coming out of the valley, really, I think. Just coming out of the valley.
So it was just... That's where the hill was, so,
yep, he was just at the bottom of the hill. Bottom of the hill. That was a similar thing, just a few stay there for a minute or two. And then
now, what was a base? I mean, would they dig in at all?
They wouldn't dig in because they wouldn't have time or dig. They'd make too much noise.
So they'd just...
I mean, you didn't want anybody to know you were there, really.
What would they do then? Just drop into
position? Well, they'd drop into position and get what cover they could, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I was never on one of these bases. I was always seeing finish up one of them. It was kept going. But you wouldn't dig in because there wouldn't be time to dig in, and you'd make too much noise when you draw too much attention yourself.
Now, had you noticed anything about Towel the second where you'd been with him?
I didn't even know him. Same as now, you know, I don't know the man, and never really came across him. He seemed, you know, we heard him speak, and he seemed all right, seemed a decent sort of chap, you know. Speak to his men, spoke to them properly, you know what I mean, where some of them were a bit bit bossy. He seemed to have good control of his men, and seemed a decent sort of a guy, but I didn't really know him at all, to be honest. And I can't even remember what his face was like, to be honest with you.
So you pushed on.
Then we then carried on up the hill.
So this is Wormald.
Wormald.
Bob Guess as second man. Lance Corporal. And then nine men. And you were one of the nine men.
That's right, yeah.
What exactly do you remember of the... Was Wormald still in front?
Wormald was in front. And I think Bob Guess was just behind him. But I know I was at the back. He always just put me at the back. Because you had to sort of, if I was up the back, you'd bum if you at the back. I used to be fairly observant in them young days.
What was the point of being at the back? What were you meant to do?
Well, not the same as everybody else, but you had to keep your eye open what was going on when there was nobody closing in round the back of you as well. You know, you couldn't sort of doze off at the back as you were walking along, because, you could get... The enemy might have seen you and then closed in round the back of you.
So you were meant to keep a special eye?
Well, that's right, you had to keep a special eye open to make certain there was nobody coming up behind you.
And were you still in single file?
We were still in single file. We were still in single file as we went up the hill.
Steep was it? What sort of...
Steep. They were all very steep. I mean, the thing is, we'd been there for months and we got used to living in that sort of terrain. But I suppose I went over there today, I'd puff a bit before we got halfway up, you know, but...
Now this was up Hill 227?
Yeah.
Did it have a name, the part that you were going up? I mean,
No. We used to use the numbers mainly.
And what happened? You were going up?
We were going up the hill, and...
Did you know what you were looking for when you got to the top? Or
you was looking for the enemy, really, to try and get somebody. They thought they were digging in trenches part way up the hill at night. They thought that during a briefing, I should have told you, during a briefing in the afternoon, they told us that the enemy were coming out at night and digging in part way down the hill, digging trenches under cover of dark. And then sort of withdrawing over the hill in daylight. And the idea was to stop them from doing that as well. I didn't want them to dig in too far on the front side of the hill. And I remember looking up, because it was a dark night, a little smear of rain sometimes, but a dark night. Very dark, and there was no moon or very little light, and but you could see the outline of the hill, and I remember thinking, we've gone too far, we're almost at the top. I could see the top of the hill not far away, and I thought, I'd better move. I know what was, because the Wormald is, he'd keep going, move up and time him up, we're getting right near the top of the hill. And I moved forward, and the men started to fan out then, as you did, which is part of your training, instead of going in single file, fan out across.
Now, when would you do that? When you thought you were...
reaching your target and you wanted to take cover. Because if you're all in single file and the enemy are close and they open fire on you and you're all in single file, you've all got a couple all at once more or less, aren't you? One behind the other, you know. Everybody can fire into that one area.
So you found
out if you find out enter a flat line, they've got to pick you out, haven't they?
And would there still be about 3 yards between each of you when you got
to line? Yeah, you had to keep 3 yards, sort of about 3 yards between you all the time.
Now, where did out into line two? Do you see what I mean? You could go right or straight on or left.
Well, I was then working my way forward. The men were going out, some to the left and some to the right. And I was then working my way forward to tell them we don't want to go much further.
So you were going towards the centre?
To Whiskers, yeah. To tell them that we don't want to go much further, or we're going to be right in the middle of the lines. And we were almost to the top of the hill within a few feet by the time I got within about 4 feet of them. And then this shadow jumped out from his trench about 6 foot away and yelled out something in Chinese. And I think we all shot him. Then all hell broke loose. They were jumping out of trenches all around us. We were actually in amongst their trenches. That was very, very dark, and that was difficult to see, but I mean, within a few feet, there was trenches around.
But you hadn't seen them before, these trenches?
No. And you couldn't see any sign of any soil working either, you know, but it weren't too much growth up there anyway. There was a lot of soil about and that sort of thing. And anyway, they jumping out, and there was hand grenades being thrown at us and gun firing, and we were firing back. I remember the radio operator who was just behind me was screaming down the radio for the direct fire to be brought in.
Who was the director? Do you remember his name?
I don't know. I said to you earlier that one of the chaps who asked was Wells, and then the last time I thought to myself, what's the radio operator's name, Wells? But I know he'd been hit, but he was still screaming that down the radio for him to send in, because, you know, I had a direct line of fire where the artillery and things are firing in the position ahead of you. And he was calling in for this DF, he called it, for the DF to come in. And which I did come in, actually, after a bit. But as I said, they were jumping out of trenches and one thing and another.
Now, what did you do? I mean, you were approaching Wormhold.
Wormhold got hit, foot of the floor, badly.
Did you see that?
Yep.
Where was he hit?
I don't know exactly where he was hit. I couldn't see. It was dark. But, I mean, he was hit. Wormhold was hit. I was trying to fire at these Chinese people that were actually firing in that direction in the darkness, you know, but they were so close.
Did you drop to the ground?
And not at that stage. And I saw Wormhold get hit and go over, and I thought, well, he's at it, because he seemed to get quite a lot, you know, when he got hit. And then I was trying to fire and throw grenades and things,
Did you have any impression of how many Chinese there were?
No idea. They could have been 10. They could have been 100. They just seemed everywhere. They were jumping out of trenches, but when one jumped out of a trench, I was wondering where to find it. It was only beside me. And you know, you were sort of trying to put yourself about and do what you could. And then Bob Guest, who was beside Wormhold, I looked down and he was there. He was there lying on the floor. And I bent down.
What state was he in?
And I looked at him and I saw his leg. Over the bottom part of his leg, almost at right angles to the rest of his leg, and I thought, "Cody got a bad one in the leg." And I thought, "Well, he ain't very tall. I can pick him up and put him on my shoulders and give him a fireman's carry bag." And then as I bent down close to him, I could see blood coming out of his mouth, and I thought, could have been it in the stomach. I can't put him on my shoulders, that'll kill him. And as that went through my mind, I looked up and there was a chink lobbed a hand grenade from about 8 foot away and 8 or 9 feet away, lobbed a hand grenade which dropped between us. And I remember hitting the deck and getting one round off and shot him as I hit the deck. And the next thing I know, because it was a zoomoy explosion, and the next thing I know, I'm on my feet. Sort of half gazed, and I thought to myself, well, it must have finished half gas off that grenade. And that went flash through my mind. And somebody said, Hippo, give us a hand here. And I didn't really know when I was. I walked into a little sapling tree as I was sort of sliding down the hill and trying to get out of it.
You've been almost blown to your feet by this explosion.
Well,
grenade.
I don't know what happened. I mean, the thing went off. I remember it, well, I can't remember the explosion, but I remember the thing laying beside us, and I remember as I hit the deck, I managed to get one round off at this chink, and I see him fall, and the next thing I know, God knows how much later, it could have been minutes, it could have been 10 minutes or so, I don't know. The next thing I know, I'm thinking to myself,
you couldn't see gas, you weren't left to guess anymore.
No, and I thought to myself, well, I suppose that explosion must have finished, but I'm cast off as though it came out.
Had you been hit at all in the explosion?
And I thought to myself, I walked into a little sapling tree, and that sort of brought me to my senses. So it made the face and brought me to my senses. And I thought, God, that was my face. And I'd been hit in the face with this, because that's anti-personnel grenades, you know, and they break up in little tiny splinters. And I thought, whatever's the matter with my knee keep giving way. And I felt down on my trousers, and I felt a couple of holes in my trousers. And I thought, blood on there, I've been hit in the leg. And this guy was saying to me, give us a hand here, Ripple. And he was grabbing hold of me. And this chap, I believe his name was Wells.
Wells. So possibly the signaller, but you don't know, really.
No, I'm certain that was Wells. And he'd been hit in the shoulder and the leg. And I said, come on, let's get out of this, you know.
Now, was Wells in the... This is before you started scrambling down the hill.
He was a brain gun. He was a brain gunner. I remember that. He had a brain gun.
Wells had.
Yeah, he was our brain gunner in our section. He was our brain gunner.
Now, had you started going back down the hill?
Well, I was sliding down the hill by then. Yeah,
when you found
or less,
him?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, I was more or less... part of the way down the hill then. We started to get down the hill and we met another guy called Johnny Boyfield who'd been hit right between the eyes. You wouldn't believe it, would you? Right between the eyes and the forehead. And the three of us, so I was trying to help this guy was because he'd been hit in the leg and in the shoulder pretty badly. Well, they kept giving way, but it didn't hurt, you know, we could still walk, right? And we thought, well, we'll go back to the forward base, you know, and get them to take us back. And we go back and we couldn't find them.
Now, were you still under fire as you were going down the hill, or did
they... Oh, yeah, yeah. We were slipping and sliding about and, you know, just trying to get out of it, really.
But they were still firing at you?
Yeah,
or firing
occasionally,
at
you know, yeah. That was dying down a lot, and the direct fire had opened and came into onto their positions.
And what was it like, the direct fire that was brought down?
Oh, it was all right, yeah. It was artillery and that sort of thing, yeah. And mortars, we'd hear it going over our heads and then exploding up the hill. And... we thought we'd make our way back to the forward base, but we couldn't find them. We either went to the wrong place, or because it's very difficult in the dark. You know, you can imagine you looked out from the other way at this territory for several days, and then suddenly you're the other side looking back, and in the dark, and it's very dark. And we sort of got our field dressings out and sort of tied them around to bits and pieces while we're bleeding, you know, as best we could. So anyway, we made our way back on our own. to the Royal Norfolk position.
Now, you didn't meet, therefore, Lieutenant Tower, Second Lieutenant
Nobody,
Tower at all?
No, couldn't find him. Never heard him. Never saw him. We certainly went in his general direction where he should have been. We went back the way we'd come, but we couldn't find him. As far as we knew, we went back the way we'd come, let me put that. So it sounds very difficult in the dark, and the terrain, that's a very rugged terrain, and to say whether you're exactly in the same place or not is very difficult, but we couldn't anyway.
So there was Wells with his the leg wound, Byfield with his head wound,
yeah.
And you with a knee, and the
calf,
the right calf,
yeah. And had a couple of bullets in there. That happened.
Was it difficult getting? I mean, it's quite a long way. More than a mile.
It weren't easy. I can assure you. And
did the wound start to kick in?
No, mine didn't. Theirs did, but mine. I will be honest with you. I mean, they didn't really. That leg wound, that didn't really. Well, obviously caused problems. My knee kept giving way, but I was numb, and the muscle was numb. Because that sort of went through the muscle just on the side there. And so the knee wasn't working very well. But we gradually got our way back. And we got back to the Royal Norfolk position. I can't remember which company we came up to, not now.
Now, so as far as you're concerned, this account in the Royal Norfolk Regiment history that says a search reveals 6 wounded and 3 unwounded men, that's not how you remember it at all.
As I'm telling you now.
That's right. So that's just wrong as far as...
I don't know about that. I mean, what that is, I don't know. But, I mean, this is what happened to me, definitely.
You weren't found by anyone.
No.
Made your own way back.
We made our own way back. And we got to the bottom of our hill. Not 355, the Norfolk's were in a position to the side of 355, weren't they?
Sorry, yeah.
And we got back to the bottom of our hill, and we started up, and I said, well, we all shout out, because they may think we're chinks. They're open fire on us. So we got just a part, and then we just shouted out, where we were, and... they sent down a party from that position. They sent down a party. I can't remember any many men, and they helped us back up the hill into the positions there. And we went into one of the bunkers where the doctor was there. And called up for ambulances.
Now, so the last you'd seen of Wormald and Guess was Wormald in the first burst of fire you saw being wounded, and Guess was just before the grenade went off, and that's the last you saw of him.
Right.
Okay, so what medical treatment did you get when you got back to the front line?
Well, when I got back, I remember the doctor looked at me and he said, my God almighty, he said, you've got to have a funny black eye in the morning. And I always say, well, I don't think so. I don't bruise. And he said, I'll bet you do. Get a black eye. But, and I said, well, I've got something in my eye. You see these bits and pieces. And he looked at my leg, bandaged it. And along come an ambulance. Put us in an ambulance. And took us off to one of these field hospitals. Very much... Well, you've seen that programme, MASH. That was the actual hospital itself. That's just how I remember it. Not the characters, obviously, but, the actual hospital itself. That was very much like that.